If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. As you know, we do a review, and this is your review. Ephesians is written to the church. Chapters 1 through 3 are doctrinal, 4 through 6 are living out your faith. Last week we talked about changing course, changing direction, danger ahead, change course. And remember that everyone that is born into the world, all humanity born into the world, are born into the kingdom of darkness. Everyone that is born into the world are lost, lost humans, and are controlled by the kingdom of darkness. Whether people know it, don't know it, you're in the kingdom of darkness until you come into the light, okay? And everyone served the kingdom of darkness, knowingly or unknowingly, some way, somehow, humans in the kingdom of darkness are serving their king. Now, what does man need? Of course, he needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that in John 1:9, the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world has come into the world. There must be a course change. And when I say a course change, I mean a 180-degree change of direction from kingdom of darkness to kingdom of light. And what do we call that in Christianity? Repentance. It's turning around, going in a different direction, going towards the Savior. You must believe and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior to enter the kingdom of light. Those who believe that he died on the cross for their sins, those who receive the gift of salvation, those who turn in a different direction become part of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because there's a course change, we learned last week, that we must live differently. Different kings, different life. We don't stay the same. We cannot stay the same. There's a different ruler. So there's a change. So in verse 10 last week, we spoke these words, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. That is our responsibility. Once I've been born again into the family of God, my duty is to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, how do I find out what is acceptable? That's my duty. How do I find out what is acceptable? Well, number one source in that is to study the Word of God. Folks, there's a big difference between reading through the Bible, which I think is a great thing for you to do. I mean, if people get on reading programs and they're reading through the Bible, there's a big difference in that and studying the Bible. Studying, I would encourage you to study the Bible. There's a big difference. Study the Word of God. Secondly, how do we implement this thing that is acceptable to God? Hear the Word of God. Hear it that it's taught by teachers that have been spiritually gifted to teach the Word of God. Okay, that is an important thing. And then thirdly, once you have this information, you are called to do the Word of God. You're to live this thing out, not just let it come in and go, oh, I have all this information. It's so wonderful. I'm very smart now. What does knowledge do? Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Now, this is how you know what is acceptable to the Lord. It doesn't come by osmosis. You can't lay your head on the Bible and go, oh, just like you just did when you studied for your history test. And you're going, oh, please sink in. It doesn't work that way. You have to study this thing. It doesn't come by osmosis. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. That is a word for all of us. To study to show ourselves approved. That's for all of us. So, second thing, when we changed course last week, we're to live differently. We are to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Now, what does that look like, really? I'm born again into the family of God. I am a new man, a new creation in Christ Jesus, okay? Something has to change in me. Something has to change in me. Have no fellowship. That word fellowship is sug koinonia. Sug koinonia. And it means to be in common with, participate in. I should have nothing in common with, participate in nothing that has to do with this world system, has nothing to do with this kingdom of darkness. If I am blending, if I am trying to look like the world in order to appeal to the world, according to Scripture, I'm going down the wrong road. Okay? I'm going down the wrong road. I'm not to partake in, have anything common with. Those in the kingdom of light are not to have fellowship, have anything in common with the kingdom of darkness. In other words, I'm not to do what they do, look like they look, sound like they sound, go where they go, because I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and I'm to be different. How can I be a light in the culture if I'm blending with the darkness? I can't. I can't. I'm not to get close to it. Now remember this. Satan wants Christians to dabble in the things of their past, to dabble in the things of the darkness. Why? Because we're just like fish, man. He just wants to put that big hook in. Whomp! That's what he wants to do. He wants to hook you. He wants you to partake in the kingdom of darkness. He is preparing the way for your fall. Now listen to these words. You Christian, this is a word to everyone born again of the Spirit in this room. You Christian are not to get close to, sound like, talk like, walk like, look like, you get the picture? Anything that is in the world. Because what does a true disciple do? Remember, God calls you, you're born again into the family of God as a child of God. You come in as a baby. But his whole point is for you to develop and to grow. Never is a Christian born into the family of God to stay a baby or to stay a sitter. Nowhere. You are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the goal for you? A disciple is to look like the rabbi. And who is the rabbi that we want to look like? Jesus Messiah. I don't want to look like the world. I'm coming out of that world. I'm coming out of that system. We are to look like the Savior. We are to emulate him. To be like the Master. Not look like the world. Is that clear? Everybody has to nod your head. Yeah, okay. Let's have a little life here. Therefore, we learn that we are to put off in 422 the old man. And in 425, a couple weeks ago, we are to put away our former conduct. To put it away. No longer participate in those things. All the stuff from the old you. And then he gave a list of four critical things. He talked about lying, anger, stealing, and corrupt speech. Swearing. Sarcasm. Corrupt speech. This week, you, as the new man or the new woman in Christ, you are to do the walk of life. And when I say the walk of life, it is life in the Spirit. It is life in the Spirit. Not the walk of deception, not the world's walk. And remember, if you're going to do the walk of life and have the walk in the Spirit, you will be called at some point to take a stand for righteousness. You will have to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's not hard in this culture to be faced with that. As a matter of fact, you probably have faced it this week where you have to take a stand. Take a stand for righteousness. This week, how this whole thing looks, the walk of life will enter into our teaching for this week. Father, we give you thanks for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, as always, we pray that you open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word. What we do not know, I ask that you teach us. And what you teach us, help us to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 15. The Holy Spirit starts with this warning for all of us that are living in the world. Okay, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. All of us. Verse 15, walk carefully. It says in the NIV, walk carefully. In New King James, it's walk circumspectfully. Verse 15, see then that you walk. Now, talking about the new man again, this is a new born-again person. This is the new life in you. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools, but as wise. Now, remember, there are people watching you. You claim to be a Christian. There are people that are watching your life. And folks, we have to walk carefully. There are angels watching your life. And guess what? There are demons that are watching your life. And the Holy Spirit is resident within you. He's living this life out with you. So there's a lot of eyes on you. You are on display. Now the question that you have to ask yourself is, are you who you say you are? Or are you even who you think you are? Who's the real you? Who's the real you? Remember, you're on display. There's some man wrote this. I don't know who actually did it, but the title of it is Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. And he's talking about how you are viewed, how a little boy is going to view his dad. Listen to these words. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I do not know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I grow up, you are like what I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. Your kids are watching you. And you have an impact on them that you cannot believe. There are eyes that are on us, folks. A disciple in the kingdom of light is walking this thing out, living this thing out. We are following the Master. I am walking in his steps. That's what I want to do. I want to look like him. Now, the poem was about a daddy. I want to be like my daddy, my heavenly Father. I want to be like him, the likeness of Christ. Are you walking? Are you following him? Are you really following Jesus, Messiah? That's a question for introspection. And don't miss this. Walk, he says, walk carefully, not as fools. Not as fools. You know what the word fool is? It means unthinking of their actions, careless and thoughtless, not thinking through what they are doing, in short, worldly minded. Now, folks, we've all walked that path, haven't we? Sometimes we do it multiple times during the day. We walk that path. But we don't want to walk that path. We want to walk carefully. Can Christians act this way? You bet. It's the reason for the warning. It's the reason for the warning. Then he says, be wise in contrast. That wise is sophos. Sophos. And the Hebrew meaning is actually this. A watchman on a mountaintop seeing everything as it is clearly. Seeing what things are for real clearly. You're in a world of smoke and mirrors, folks. This is all smoke and mirrors. We don't see a lot of truth. We don't hear a lot of truth. And you with wisdom will be able to rise above what's being jammed down your throats, the lies that are coming at you, and be able to see clearly what's going on in the culture. That's what we want. We want the wisdom of God. Foolish men see dimly. They act on dim vision. They are unwise. Wise men see clearly. Wise men see the ways of God and walk and follow in his footsteps. Follow me, Daddy. Walk in his footsteps. That's the way we want to walk this thing out. And like I said, I've called this the walk of life, the walk in the Spirit. Verse 16. The walk of life involves redeeming the time. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The walk of life makes wise use of time. Isn't time precious? For all of us, it's going so quick. How long ago was last Sunday to you? We're here again. Here we go again. It's another Sunday. Here we go. We get to do this again. It's an honor to do this, but it comes so quick. That's our life. That's what's happening to our time. But notice that it isn't just time that's passing. He gives this quote, the time. That's specific. You can circle that in your Bible if you are inclined to write in your Bible. The time. It's not time. It is the time. Now, here's what the definition of the time is. It's a definite season of opportunity that Christians must redeem. A definite season of opportunity that Christians must redeem. A time where something should happen. It's an opportunity we have to share our light with a dark world. That is the time. It's not your 24 hours of the day. It's the opportunities that God creates in you, for you during the day to engage the darkness. That is the time. That is the time that we get engaged and we are following the Lord Jesus. We're obedient to what the Spirit is asking us to do. Big difference between time, which is flying, and the time that we have to work in. Now, notice this. It says, you have a message. You have a light message. A light message. A message for an evil, because the days are evil, an evil, dark world. We are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, I have a couple examples of this for you. Listen to this. In Massachusetts, a 15-year-old was accused of murdering a college student during a mugging, then bragging to his high school age accomplices that the knife he used went all the way through the body. After the boy's first appearance before the court, his friends cried, not for the person who had been murdered, but because a high bail had been placed on their friend. Someone asked one of the friends what an appropriate punish would be for the murderer. Counseling. He should have counseling, he replied. Another friend, a girl, said, what's the big bleeping deal? People die all the time. Folks, the days are evil that we are living in. Man has lost his compassion for his fellow man. This is a sign of the end times, that we lose our universal love or fellowship with other humanity. And it's growing greater and greater and greater to be a problem in our country. You wonder what's happening in all these cities. Man has lost his compassion. The kingdom of darkness has been cut loose. We've taken Jesus out of the culture. We've taken God and pushed him in the corner. He says, get behind those trees over there, God. And when I want you, I'll pull you out. And what happens to the culture? It descends. It descends and it dies and people are hurt. And we wonder, what's wrong with America? What's wrong with America? The days are evil. I'll give you another example. Actor River Phoenix, now this is a few years ago, collapsed and died outside a fashionable L.A. hotspot, but his death hasn't slowed down the club scene at all. Cliff Cantor, co-owner of the club Dragonfly, said, nothing has changed. Look around. Nobody's talking about it. The people who go out and do drugs are doing them business as usual. The week started out on a really glum note, but it's really reassuring to see that people aren't going to wallow in the remorse. One 20-year-old named Carol said, people are pretty jaded about the whole thing. I mean, we're sad, you know, but what are you going to do? Order another drink, quipped her male companion. The days are evil. They're not even moved by people dying right before their eyes. Folks, we are to redeem the time. What does Scripture say in Matthew 5:16? We've repeated this often. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is heaven. You are the only light this culture has. It isn't the government. It isn't a welfare system. You are the light that this culture has. You are reflected light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to impact the culture around you. The time is the time God gives you to impact the darkness with light. Your life and your words matter. Your life and your words matter. Those who do this are sophos, wise in the ways of God. Wise in the ways of God. Verse 17. Sophos, or wisdom, understands the will of the Lord. Verse 17. Therefore, now why is it there? He's talking about how we're to live as a new man. We're to walk carefully. We are to redeem the time. The days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The God wants you to know how to navigate through this culture. He wants you to know exactly how to navigate, how to work through this, to be have wisdom as you're progressing on. Now, how do you know or find out the will of the Lord? That's a real big thing, isn't it? How do you find out or know the will of the Lord? How are you going to be a light to the culture around you? For number one, and this is not a mystery, number one, or God's will is number one, always revealed in His Word. In His Word. He will never expect you to do something contrary to His Word. So it's always revealed in His Word. We are to study it. Psalm 119:15 says this, "We are to meditate on Your precepts and contemplate Your ways. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your Word." What does that mean? We have it in us. It's part of our day. It's part of our life. I have access to it. I can bring it out and I can utilize it at a time of need. I will meditate on Your precepts. It just doesn't say I'll read it. I will meditate. I'll get it inside of me. It will change me. It will change. That's what we need. And the second thing is that for those who are growing, your mind must be transformed. This is not optional. We cannot think like we used to think. We cannot think like the world. You must have a transformed mind. And how does this happen? By yielding, offering yourself to God. Romans 12:2, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed anymore to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That conform there means don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into anything. As a matter of fact, you impact the world. You are salt and light. You confront the world with what the truth is because you're told constantly lies. That's your job. How do I know what God's will is? Study the Word and have my mind transformed. And I'll know what the will of God is. When my mind is transformed, that's a process, you know. That's actually talking about sanctification. That's phase two of salvation. First, we're justified, then we're sanctified, living this thing out, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And phase three is praise the Lord, glorification, when we're out of here and we're made whole. No longer temptable. Isn't that going to be nice? That's going to be hip, hip, hooray. Yeah, we made it through our time of testing. Verse 18. The walk of life people are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? If you're going to be Spirit-filled, if you're going to really walk this thing out according to God's precepts and ways, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, and then he gives a comparison. And do not be drunk with wine. That's an imperative. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. When you see do not, that's a command. It's not a suggestion. Do not be drunk with wine. He just uses that as an example. Anything that's going to control you. In which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's also a command. But you, Christian, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to have victory over stuff? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do that again as an imperative. We cannot be controlled by our flesh. Be out of control. Flesh indulgences. The word dissipation here is interesting. It means extravagant squandering. What happens when you drink? Money goes out. People love the tip. Big tippers, I mean, have a drink, tip, drink, tip. It's extravagant squandering, falling under the influence of flatterers, spends freely on his own lusts and appetites. He's a flesh pleaser, a flesh caver, a flesh chaser. That's dissipation. That's dissipation. We've all been there. And it's not just falling down drunk, being impaired in any way is what he's talking about. It could be any substance. It's just what he's using here. It could be anything. Why? Because you are born again of the Spirit, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, there is no room for stuff from this world to come into your temple. There should be nothing else controlling you besides the Holy Spirit. That's for you, Christian. That's for each one of us. This can happen in a multitude of ways. And it isn't just alcohol. It isn't just drugs, cocaine, all that stuff. We can be controlled by gossip. We can be controlled by eating. That's the big Christian sin. I mean, let's put the nail right where it needs to be hammered. I mean, we all indulge too much. And again, you can be a glutton and not look like a glutton. Guarantee you that much. Live there. Done that. Have a problem with that. It's anything. Let me give you an illustration. Does the gospel of Jesus Christ offer hope to those who have fallen into grips of any sin? This one's going to be alcohol that I'm going to be talking about, but it could be anything that controls you. Listen to this. As a Christian businessman concluded his business with a lawyer in St. Louis some years ago, he said to the lawyer, "I have often wanted to ask you a question, but I have been a coward." "Why?" replied the lawyer. "I did not think you were afraid of anything." "What is the question?" the man said. "Why are you not a Christian?" The lawyer hung his head. He said, is there not something in the Bible that says no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God? You know my weakness." "That's not my question," answered the Christian man. I'm asking you why you are not a Christian." "Well," answered the lawyer, "I cannot recall that anyone ever asked me if I were a Christian, and I'm sure that no one has ever showed me how to become a Christian." Then the Christian drew his chair close to the lawyer, read him some passages from the Bible, and said simply, "Let us get down and pray." Now listen to the lawyer's prayer. The lawyer prays first. The lawyer prays first, and he says, "Oh Jesus, you know what a slave I am to drink. Here this morning, your servant has shown me the way to God. Oh, break the power of this habit in my life." Isn't that a simple prayer? "Oh, break the power of this habit in my life." Giving his testimony later, this drinking lawyer said to a crowd, write it down big, write it down plain, that God broke that power instantly. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. Okay? God broke that power instantly. Who was this drunken lawyer? C.I. Schofield, the Schofield Bible. Isn't that amazing? When the scripture says to be filled with the Holy Spirit, do not be drunk on wine which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is palero in the Greek. And the reason that I'm mentioning is not just a little filled. It means to make replete, cram full, to be gorged with the Holy Spirit. Why is that significant? Because if I am gorged with the Holy Spirit, what else can come in me? Nothing. The Spirit of God dominates everything. Nothing else has room. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice the words, to be filled is the admonition. It's written in the present tense. To keep on being filled. It's not a one-time event. To keep on being filled. You know what? As areas of life that you yield to, that's an area that you've given control of the Spirit of God through. That's an area that He's allowed to fill and to inhabit. And to not have that as an issue for you anymore. That's filling. It's repeatable. Peter had many times when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's over and over and over. It's written in the passive voice that someone else does the filling. You yield. That's your job as a Christian. The Spirit of God is within you. He's given you the ability to yield to Him. And God is the one that fills you with the Spirit. This is different than Spirit baptism. Spirit baptism is 1 Corinthians 12:13 talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a one-time event that happens at salvation. The filling of the Holy Spirit is repeatable. As we yield areas of our life to Him, we must desire to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference in your life. It makes the difference between a victorious living Christian and an average, apathetic, just going through the motions Christian. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a command. You want to live victoriously, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, period. Now the promise, I just took a couple of them. In John 7:37, Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, which by the way has a big water pots that they're carrying. And on the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out in the middle of all these people. A lot of them didn't like him. In front of all these people, he cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, isn't that out of his heart, out of the inside of the person? Because God changes you from the inside out. You might try to look good, sound good, smell good, look good to everybody around you, but God changes you from the inside out. You really get good. And he says this, in case you didn't know what the living water was, verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given." Remember, he had to depart before the Spirit of God would be given. In John 14:16, he says, "He will send another helper," another allos in the Greek, "another one just like me." You know why that's important? Because the Holy Spirit is going to be just like Jesus. What does that eliminate? Barking in the Spirit, laughing in the Spirit, drunk in the Spirit, which people have used the scripture that we've used today as an excuse to demonstrate drunkenness in the Spirit. It's a contrast. It's a contrast. Don't do this, do this. The Spirit of God is going to look just like Jesus. That's how you can tell. That's how you can tell. The second one that I chose was Jeremiah 2:13. Jeremiah 2:13 says this to the nation of Israel, who had access to God, who are called, the Jewish people were called the wife of Jehovah. He had a relationship, a marriage relationship with the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah is written to a people that are transitioning from not being in captivity to being in captivity. And he's warning them, and he's warning them, and he's warning them. And he comes down in chapter 2, verse 13. He says this, "For my people," he's speaking for God, "for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is living waters that pours out of you, and you, as Christians, will work out of the overflow of the Spirit. It's the overflow of the Spirit that goes into the culture. It's the overflow of the Spirit that comes into your home and changes your home. Changes an abusive husband into a loving husband. Changes a drunk into a sober. It's when it takes anger and does away with anger. It's out of the overflow of the Spirit that we live. And we impact the world and things are changed. It isn't just a little bitty bit of the Holy Spirit. It's overflow. God wants you to give you everything, the whole thing, the whole whammy. "For you have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." And notice what the Jews chose instead of living waters. "You have hewn for yourself cisterns," stagnant, putrid water. "You've hewn for yourself cisterns that can hold no water." Israel chose no life, as opposed to the life of living water that could have flowed from them into the world around them. They chose false gods and false ways. And God is pleading through the prophet Jeremiah, change, 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 turn, turn, turn. He does the same thing with us today, with his people. Turn, change, turn. If you're getting off base, you know it. The Spirit of God's resident within you. Turn, change course. Secondly, the result of the filling of the Holy Spirit is victory over old habit strongholds. Is found in the filling of the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to desire to be filled with the Spirit. It has to be a passion in your heart that you are willing to empty your vessel of all of you to make room for Him. You empty yourself of you for Him. And secondly, if the Holy Spirit is going to fill you, you have to be willing to give up your rights, your will, your way. If you want to live a victorious Christian life, if you want to have the joy of the Lord as we're supposed to have as Christians, okay? Aren't we supposed to have this? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. You have to give it up. You have to ask Him. You have to obey Him. You have to be willing to do what He wants you to do. And folks, the Spirit of God is willing to fill you to overflowing, to change your life. Do away with old stuff. And I'm telling you, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, ask Him. Be willing to give up the old you. Start a new course. You can live above this mess called mediocrity. And you can live on the mountaintop of God. I'm not saying everything's going to be great and wonderful and cupcake mountain and all that stuff. That's not true. But I can tell you, through the valley of despair, the Spirit of God is with you, buttressing you up, the rod of iron up your spine to allow you to stand. Folks, we live out of the overflow. The filling of the Spirit is imperative to live victoriously. Don't let this world drag you down. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 through 21, the result of yielding to the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, will be our walk of life. Verse 19 through 21, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. There's three things that popped out in these verses. Evidence that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Evidence that your church is filled with the Holy Spirit is this. Number one, worship. And I'm talking about you. Look at yourself. Is this happening in your being? Worship. Because he says psalms. Those are worship hymns. Hymns, spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart. Where is that? That's from within you, coming from your inner you. I mean, we're here to worship God of the universe. If you go to a stadium and you see some rock band and those kids are puffing their pot and their eye and aren't they into it? Go, whoever you are. Go, whoever you are. We come before the living God. We want to pour out our hearts to him. We don't have to jump up and down like crazy people, but you can express yourself. You can say, praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Inside your heart, you're just pouring out praise and worship to him. It's an attitude of the heart. Sometimes it overflows into our exuberance of thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, worship. The object of our worship is the Lord Jesus. The Anglo-Saxon word is worth-ship. Worth-ship. What kind of worth are we giving to our Lord Jesus? Hey, evidence that you are filled is worship. Number two, the Spirit-filled person is thankful. Now, folks, it's easy to be thankful when things are going great, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Lord, I got the pay raise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, I was the star on the team. Thank you. Thank you. It's not so easy when things are not going so well, is it? It's easy in the easy times, but there's also the bad times. And there's the ugly times. Isn't there? Good, the bad, and the ugly. Through it all, we are to have a spirit of thankfulness. And that can only come from God because our nature is counter to this. In our nature, we respond to what's going on in our flesh. Okay? This is a constant struggle. This isn't something going to just be unique to me. We want to respond in the Spirit as things are coming at us. In the Spirit, a spirit of thankfulness. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is a tough verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That covers the whole gamut of life. That's the good stuff that happens. That's the bad stuff that happens. The man or woman of God is to have a spirit of thankfulness. That can only come from God. We can't muster this up. When you're hurting, you can't muster this up. This has to be him inputting into you. This has to be him. And that relationship has to be there. Giving thanks as we walk through our day. Through it all, a spirit of thankfulness. A complaining heart and the Holy Spirit do not go together. You understand that? The Scripture says, stop complaining or quit murmuring. What did the Jews do in the wilderness? They murmured. How did God respond? He didn't like that, did he? Murmuring. And number three, the Spirit-filled person is a submitted person. Submitted. Hupotasso. Hupotasso is the word. To place under, to be under rank. It literally means to be under rank. It's a military word. It speaks of the way that an army is. Under rank. Now, how might this look? Very important for a church. Very important for a family. The structure in a family. The structure in a church. We have relationships with one another. How might this look? Where the Spirit-filled, submitted person is willing to give way. Give way in matters of indifference. I'm not talking about big doctrinal issues. I'm not talking about someone giving way and someone doesn't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. No, you don't give way on that. You don't give way on major things. But there's a lot of little nitty things. Isn't it the little nitty things that cause divisions within churches? Oh, they didn't talk to me. Oh, they didn't choose my color. My color. I wanted the walls. The walls would have been better that color, but oh, look what they did. I can't hardly stand it. Oh, they got more trees up here than I can stand. Look at these trees. Look at them. They're all over. Folks, those are little ditzel things that the enemy uses to destroy fellowships. He does. Spirit-filled person is willing to give way. Give way to one another. Let love rule. even when you think you have a better idea. And you might have a better idea. You might have the best idea in the world. But folks, if it's going to cause dissension over something that is not a big deal, let it go. Let it go with your husband and wife relationship. Let it go. Let it go. You don't have to stand. These are my rights. I mean it. When you start feeling that way, you know you're going down the wrong path. Guess what? Let love rule. This way, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. This way, they will know it. Christians must act as a team, have a team attitude. Others first attitude. This is counter to the flesh, and it certainly is counter culture. Guess what? We are also, when we're submitted to one another, we are to be happy when someone else gets the credit. Or when I'm not in the spotlight and someone else is in the spotlight. Yeah, you have to give way. Paul expressed this really good in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done from selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each one esteem others better than himself. That's not coming from you. That's coming from God in you. That has to be God in you. Who do I want to be number one? Me. I want to be number one. No, God wants us to submit, let others better than ourselves. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I'm looking for your good and you're looking for mine. And guess what? We're healthier that way. We're healthier that way. Just one last word on this. Why must I submit? Well, first of all, God told us to. But it's out of a fear of God. It's out of an awesome, that's not a tremulous fear. That is an awesome respect, a reverence for God. He told me to. I love him. I respect him. So I'm going to do things his way. Church has to be done his way, folks. We've made up all kinds of different ways to do church. We've got the King Church. There's the King up here. He does everything. He's in charge of everything. No, that's not how church is supposed to be done. It's not a King Church, other than Jesus being the King. It's not a people King. Do it the way the Bible says. I'm accountable to him. And guess what? I want to be a God pleaser and not a people pleaser. And that's easier said than done because we all want to be liked. It's easy to cave in and try to be a people pleaser instead of a God pleaser. Just some closing thoughts and we'll be done. The walk of life, life in the Spirit, is only possible as we yield to the Holy Spirit and he takes control of our lives. Period. Number two, God's command is that you are filled, plero, with the Holy Spirit. We must yield to him, folks. Yield to him. You want to be a victorious Christian? You want to get off the mediocrity? Yield to the Holy Spirit, your life. And number three, you will never be filled if you're holding on to the world, if you're holding on to your rights. These are my rights, my time. I deserve, this is my time. You ever hear those words? Oh, when you say that, you know that you're not holding on to the Holy, you're holding on to you, okay? Or holding on to your will, my way, this way. Uh-uh, I want God's way. I want his way. Now, how are you doing in your walk of life? This is an excerpt from Chuck Swindoll's exposition on Ephesians. He asked these questions that I'd like to share with you. And I would like you to introspect yourself. This isn't for you to go, hey, you're not doing so well in this. Oh, yes, look at you. No, this is for you to look at you, to examine yourself for these questions. Number one, examine yourself. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the question. Question number one, are you careful and wise in your behavior? Rank yourself 1 to 10. Just draw a little line. Am I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Am I right in the middle? Am I doing pretty good? Am I awful? Are you careful and wise in your behavior? Are you flesh-controlled? Rank yourself. Number two, are you disciplined and discerning in redeeming the time? Am I engaging the darkness with the truth, the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Am I doing that? That's redeeming the time. Am I penetrating the darkness? Number three, are you actively and correctly pursuing the Father's will? And guess what? There's handouts back there if you guys get lost on this because I'm going kind of fast. Are you actively and correctly pursuing the Father's will? His will over your will. You know you're making progress then. When you start to sublimate your feelings and your emotions and your rights and I deserve, when you start to do that, you're being controlled by the Spirit, not by your flesh. Number four, are you living under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit? Is this evident to others around you? Is it evident to others around you that you are controlled by the Spirit? Or does your flesh just control everything that you do? Overrules the Spirit in you. And number five, are you deliberately submitted to one another? Are you hupotasso? Are you easy to live with? That's a question. The Spirit-filled person is easy to live with. Easy to live, not demanding their rights, not demanding their ways. Are you easy to live with? Are you demanding your rights or not? How are you doing? If you are not doing well, you're not alone. Don't feel bad. But guess what? Remember our last lesson. It's never too late to change course. It's never too late to say, Father, I need you, Holy Spirit, come into my being, fill me to overflowing with you. I am tired of this walk that I've been walking. I need you more than I need anything. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. And you can be filled if you yield to the Spirit. And I'll tell you, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll see a change in character. You will see a changed course in that person's life. You will see a changed impact in that person's life. And you will see an overall change of their life. It will not be the same. Because God is at work in you to change you, you can do the walk of life. And my question to you is, how are you doing? My question to me is, how are you doing? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, that you've given us your Spirit that directs our path. Lord, when I hear your words, this is the way, walk in, and help me to be mindful that it's you that is telling me that. When I hear you giving me caution about getting engaged in something, help me to remember that's you. And I want to act out of the overflow of the Spirit so that the world is impacted. Lord, right now I ask that you would fill everyone in here with your Spirit. The ones that are in their heart right now, yielding themselves to you. You know who they are in this group. You know who doesn't care to be filled with your Spirit. I ask you right now to fill each person that really desires to be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. That you, Lord, would change the course of our lives and make us different people. That we'll actually be light in this dark culture, not just blending in gray, but that we will be the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Different, because Jesus resides within us. The Spirit of God resides within us. Change my heart, O God. Change my path, O God. And make my heart true to you. Thank you, Lord. Do your work now in each one of our hearts, Father, please. In Jesus' name, amen.